Ho, ho, ho. It's the 413. Let's tell everybody to listen to our show.
It's a Tuesday night. You've got nowhere else to go.
And we're on with Abby, Bill, and DJ Ron. And with Gar, Andy, you know, we'll take you friend or foe. Just listen to our show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Christmas special edition of the 413 podcast. This is an episode that almost didn't happen.
Our story begins in the cozy, slightly cluttered basement studio where the group records their podcast. There's a Christmas tree in the corner, half decorated, the microphones scattered across the table. Abby, Andy, Bill, Jared, and Eric are all seated around it.
All right, team, it's December. We need ideas for our Christmas episode. After all, Christmas is all about presents, and we need to give our viewers a good one this year.
Right. Something festive, something nostalgic, something that won't make me want to karate chop Andy mid-recording. I'll take notes.
Hear me out. Christmas, but in space. Imagine Santa in a UFO delivering presents to aliens. The presents, signed copies of Third Rock from the Sun. I mean, who doesn't love French Stewart?
Absolutely not. And stop spinning in your chair.
No. Wait, what if we go radical? Christmas Extreme Sports Edition. We talk XWA wrestling, sledding at Clamp Park, and who can chug an entire gallon of eggnog without barfing? Eggnog Challenge!
How about we skip the episode entirely? No one cares. People just do what they want to do.
Damn it, Jared. Do you hate joy? The kids in Pittsfield will cry harder than when dead rats broke up. Do you want to put the kids through another traumatic event like that? I mean, kids are assholes sometimes, so maybe it's not so bad.
Can we please just one time stay on track? This plan is going down harder than the boat at Allendale.
Guys, we started this podcast to celebrate growing up in Pittsfield, remember? Christmas is perfect for nostalgia. Tree lightings at Park Square, hot chocolate at Sip of Seattle, making reindeer decorations hump on Holmes Road.
Or that time Andy got banned from caroling for singing Clay Aiken's Invisible?
To be fair, there was no way to know that lady was blind.
She had a guide dog.
I thought it was a German Shepherd.
Yeah. Nostalgia. It's overdone. People don't want memories. They want TikTok and soft pants.
The group dissolves into loud bickering. Abby slams her coffee mug on the table.
Enough! This isn't working. I can't do this with you anymore. I just can't with this. It's like herding cats every night.
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
Andy, I think this is what she's talking about. Abby, are you sure you want to break up the podcast?
Yes. Maybe we're forcing it. Y'all are stressing me out.
Okay. I don't know how I'm supposed to change your mind. We can't do this without you.
Later that night, Eric lies in bed, staring at the ceiling. The room glows faintly with Christmas lights outside his window. He tosses and turns, muttering to himself.
Abby's leaving. Am I putting too much pressure on everyone? What if this is it? What if we never get back together?
Suddenly, a faint glow fills the room. He looks up to see a shadowy figure by his bedside. It's Andy, dressed as a 90s kid with JNCOs and a Discman.
Hey, I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Andy? Is that you? When did you grow your tail back?
There's no time. We're going on a trip down memory lane.
Where the hell is that?
Elm Street.
Eric blinks. And suddenly, they're standing outside his childhood home.
Remember when we started hanging out? It was like time stood still. But we all got older and busier, which is why we started the podcast. We thought the world was ending. They killed Betty White. It used to be about having fun and giving our hottest takes.
Yeah, we laughed so much we cried. I mean, who thinks a hot dog is a sandwich?
Me, but that's not the point. The point is that there doesn't need to be a point. Not pressure, not perfection, just hanging out and having fun like the dudes in Encino Man. I mean, they were all just hanging out, playing Radmobile, looking for chicks, and Paulie. Don't forget how good he was in that. I mean, we could probably get him on the podcast. You know his contact info? I bought his record on Record Store Today, but there wasn't really anything good. Not as good as Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Before Eric can respond, Andy fades out, replaced by Jared, who's now wearing a sleek black robe like a grumpy Jedi.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present. Let's go, fucker.
They're suddenly inside the basement studio, watching the others argue earlier that day.
Look at us, bitching over nonsense. You think this is what it's all about? Is this what you were trying to create?
No, but...
Look closer.
Eric notices Abby crafting up a storm and stifling a smile. Bill checking the score of the Michigan game and nodding along convincingly. Andy feeding a shirtless Vinny peanuts at 1 a.m., one peanut at a time. And Jared's heart growing three sizes watching his friends being themselves.
Beneath the chaos, we're still friends, still a team. Even if I hate Christmas and this podcast.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The podcast shouldn't feel like work. We don't owe the viewers anything, only to each other.
Suddenly, Jared disappears, and Bill appears in a sparkly, over-the-top, jingly elf costume.
Ghost of Christmas Future, my bro! Let's go!
They're now standing in a cold, empty studio, covered in dust.
What is this?
This is what happens if you let Abby quit. No more podcasts. No more laughs. Just silence. Hella sad, to be honest.
Eric looks devastated. Bill pulls him into a one-armed hug.
But hey, bro, you can fix this. Just get the gang back together. Convince Abby not to quit. Rip out hella podcast content for the peeps. And my main man, Fozzie Way, because he's the most snuggable.
Bill winks and vanishes. Eric wakes up, startled, and immediately grabs his phone. The next day, Eric invites everyone back to the studio. The Christmas tree is fully decorated now, and there's a cozy fire crackling on the screen in the background.
Guys, I had a dream. Well, three, actually. We can't quit the podcast. It's not about the episodes or the themes. It's about us, hanging out, being friends. I know, I can make it feel like homework, but mostly in fear of being judged by our fingerless gloved keyboard warrior fans. I know our episodes will be good because regardless of the topic, we always find a way to bond over our experiences. Hey, there are more Pitts tales to be told, more pizza to rank, and more core memories to unlock. You guys are the best present I could ask for.
The group exchanges looks.
You know something? You're actually right. I love reliving some of the most fun nights of my life on podcast night. And even more than that, creating some new ones. Let's do this thing. I've got some Christmas-themed trivia in honor of old Saint Nick.
Nick Cage?
Andy.
Fine. But if we're doing this, no caroling. Ever.
Again, I thought it was a standard poodle.
Listen, as long as y'all don't make fun of my elf ears.
I thought that was a costume.
They gather around the mics, laughing and reminiscing as the camera pans out, revealing snow falling gently outside the studio window. Abby begins the first question of trivia.
It's like rain on a rain day.
It's a free ride that you just didn't say.
It It's another brisk December. The cold cuts just like a knife. Not a creature is out stirring. No tool time for Andy's wife. It's a Christmas podcast special with nostalgia over Zoom. Abby's putting her kids to bed while Bill's howling at the moon. Jared joins the meeting faded. Eric demands perfection. No soft pants at this table. No candy cane detection. As the recording started, we are filled with Christmas cheer. So grab a hold the ones you love. The 413 is here. It's Christmas time in the 413. Doxing and unboxing round the Christmas tree. So sit back and listen to our tales from the pits. Or left in your stocking will be nothing but shits. I just really the world. That's it, old Eddie Lors. Bondage Man Jingle Chevrolet is in stud. Since early 2000s, we've all been best buds.
All right, friends, I am back. Back as the trivia host with another round of Christmas trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
I apologize in advance for any of our viewers who may be binging our Christmas episodes. It's very likely that many of these questions are duplicates from prior years. But first, we're going to kick off with an original category. Bill, your first question. In the podcast Christmas Carol, what festive decoration in the studio is only half finished?
The Christmas tree.
1 point for Bill.
Yeah.
Andy, what extreme Christmas activity does Bill suggest for the podcast episode?
Sports. Extreme sports.
No.
Damn it.
I steal?
Sure.
Wrestling.
No.
XWA?
Hmm? Well, he said we could talk about XWA, but what does he want us to do?
Oh, sledding.
Okay. My correct answer was...
eggnog challenge. Oh, the eggnog challenge. God damn it.
Eric, what does Jared suggest doing instead of recording a Christmas episode?
Nothing.
Skipping the episode entirely.
Whatever the fuck you want.
Jared, why was Andy banned from caroling?
That poodle.
Can I steal? I know this one. Said this line 10 times.
No, it was the doxing. You were the one that was banned. That.
Yeah. Did you just say he was banned for doxing?
Yes.
No, it's a dachshund.
Dachshund.
All right. Why did I just give Jared a point? See, this is why my scoring is so terrible.
Jared should have got a point.
He said Caitlin. Say that right.
Oh, does he get a point? Okay. Caitlin, what cafe in Pittsfield does Eric associate with nostalgic hot chocolate?
I was like Sip and Stir or something.
Can I steal?
I want to steal. I remember.
Everybody steal.
Sip of Seattle.
Sip of Seattle. Then juice and Java.
All right, Bill. I have a second round of questions for this category.
Oh, shit.
What ironic sound punctuates Abby's frustration in Act 1?
She slams down her coffee cup.
Incorrect.
Oh, what?
Herding cats.
Incorrect.
Ah,
what sound punctuates Abby's frustration in Act 1?
Oh, is it a sigh?
Sigh.
Oh, that's right.
Boom.
It didn't happen.
Andy, what movie does Andy compare their friendship to?
Encino Man.
complete with a shout out to Pauly Shore.
To be fair, that is a good movie.
It is such a good movie.
Eric, what does the ghost of Christmas future, Bill, show Eric?
Other than his penis?
Helicopter that.
He shows me a hella sad empty studio.
Perfect. Jared, what does Bill call Fozziwig in his Ghost of Christmas Future speech?
Cute. Adorable. Sorry. Snuggable.
No.
Sorry.
Snuggable.
It was one of the ubbles. I don't know.
Caitlin, what inspires Eric to call everyone back together after his dream?
I don't know. He didn't want to be, I don't know. The sad, lonely, dusty studio.
Realizing the podcast is about their friendship, not perfection.
Best present there is.
Best present there was. Best present there ever will be.
You're about to be excellently friendshipped.
The excellent execution of friendship.
Ooh, better. Right on.
Let's see if this next category causes some fractures in friendship.
Oh, no.
Bill, which Muppet character narrates the Muppet Christmas Carol as Charles Dickens?
That would be Gonzo.
Beautiful. Andy, what Christmas song do the Muppets and John Denver famously perform together in John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together?
I want to say the 12 days. No, it's 12 days of Christmas. That's the song that's stuck in my head right now.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, you did it.
I cannot believe it, Andy.
I that song's playing in my head.
Golden rings.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yes.
That wow, was I'm impressed. Eric, which Muppet is Tiny Tim in the Muppet Christmas Carol?
Isn't it just a mini Kermit?
Does anyone know the more technical answer?
Tadpole?
Little Frog?
Kermit! I'm going to give you half a point. It was Kermit's nephew. Robin.
Robin.
We should watch that movie right now. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
Jared, what year was the Muppet Christmas Carol released?
Oh, that's a good question. Say sometime in the 90s. Probably on a Tuesday.
Was Jim Henson alive when it came out?
No, it was in memory of.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I think it's Brian.
94. Six.
No.
Two?
It's got to be close, though. I was going to say it's 92. Early 90s.
All right, Caitlin. In the Muppet Family Christmas, which character gets stuck in the chimney dressed as Santa Claus? I can give you a hint. Okay. They are extremely snuggable.
Fozzie Bear.
I was going to say Rizzo the Rat.
Rizzo the Dead Rat.
All right. Y'all did fantastic in the Muppet category.
Yeah.
I'm going to move us on to a Christmas music category.
Oh, fuck.
Bill.
Yo.
What Christmas song is the best-selling single of all time?
All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
No. What? It was White Christmas by Bing Crosby.
I was going to say Silver Bells.
The 30 year for freaking Mariah Carey's White Christmas is here too, right?
Well, Jared, my next question for Andy is ruined because of... No.
30 years.
Okay. See, I didn't even have it read anyway. It's fine.
Andy, which pop star released the holiday hit All I Want for Christmas Is You in 1994?
Mariah Carey. Clay Aiken.
Not even going to mention the anniversary, just going to breeze right past it.
And also, I believe it's the 30-year anniversary from Mad Abby, if I recall.
I thought it was the best-selling record of all time.
No, that would be Bing Crosby.
yes.
Oh,
famously Bing.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, What is the name of the 1984 charity single by Band-Aid that raised money for famine relief in Ethiopia?
Is it Do They Know It's Christmas?
Correctamundo. Jared, in the 12 days of Christmas, how many gold rings are given?
5. Thanks, Andy.
You're welcome. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Isn't that Jingle Bell Rock that you're doing?
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
All right, Caitlin.
Muppets version.
I'm sorry, your question is not as easy. What Christmas carol contains the lyrics, "Let nothing you dismay"?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Can you remember the lyrics that directly precede it?
Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. I don't know what that song is called, though. Ooh.
What happens right before "Let nothing you dismay"?
Christ probably the name of the song. Born on Christmas Day.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Comfort and joy.
Is that it?
No. Does anyone know what it is?
Oh, fuck.
Feast of Stephen or something? Is that the same one?
No, the lyrics directly before "Let nothing God you
rest,
dismay."
Ye merry gentlemen.
Right on.
He's Googling it.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? I was like,
Andy put on his reading glasses. We knew.
I'm like, hold on a second. God rest ye merry gentlemen. I'm not Googling it.
By the way, are those trifocals? What are those?
I get old.
Just magnifiers.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give a little recap of the score before we.
Oh, no. Please don't.
Bill, you currently have 2 points.
Yeah.
Andy, by the grace of God, you have 3 points. Eric, you have 3.5 points.
Yeah.
Jared, you have 2.5 points.
Yeah.
Caitlin, is it pretty? 1 point. 1 point. We have more categories left than I thought we did. Nice. The next category is Christmas history trivia.
Okay, Bill, here we go.
What country is credited with starting the tradition of the Christmas tree?
I say Germany.
Correctamundo.
What?
No. Yeah.
Andy, which famous figure declared December 25th a federal holiday in the United States?
John F. Kennedy?
No, it was another gentleman with a prominent middle initial.
Santa something Claus.
FDR?
No. Apparently presidents all use their middle initial back in the day.
William H. Macy.
Ulysses Abraham S. Grant.
Whoa, it was Grant. Oh, damn.
Eric, who is credited with writing A Visit from St. Nicholas, better known as The Night Before Christmas?
I believe that would be Kermit's nephew, Robin. I have no idea.
Clement Clark Moore.
Ooh.
Fuck is that?
You gave Andy how many golden rings there are, and I got Clarence Clement Moore? What?
Oh, she gave me how many golden rings there were.
Everybody knows who that guy is. It's Charles Dickens' nephew that he played Robin all the time.
Dickinson's?
Oh, yeah. He's related to Dickinson, but he's the Dickinson's.
Andy will someday learn how to pluralize.
The cidery.
So, okay. Jared, what did the first ever commercially sold Christmas card depict?
Oh, man.
Is it Santa with a Coke?
A family celebrating with drinks. It does not indicate whether these drinks are Coke or not, but. Caitlin, I apologize again. In which year was Christmas banned in England by the Puritans?
God. 1875.
You have one. Price is Right rules. You have one digit in the correct area.
One digit. 17. Nope. That. 1776.
You have one digit in the correct column. The correct answer.
1612.
1647.
Ah.
Bill, that was what kind of year was that for you?
It was pretty good. Some good pop punk records came out. I was pretty stoked. And a corn cob pipe.
Oh, how ye fire crackle. Is that one of the songs?
That's right.
All right, Bill.
Side note, syphilis raged through the colony that year after banning Christmas.
Speaking of old found glory, it's time for Bill.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go in reverse order because I feel like the questions get harder and this just isn't fair for Jared and Caitlin. So, Bill,
yo,
what holiday drink is central to the plot of the Santa Claus 2?
Let Caitlin steal if he doesn't get it.
What is that spice drink?
Mango lassi.
Yeah, rum. Fuck it. I'll go with eggnog instead. eggnog shots.
God, say it if you know it.
I was just going to say it was probably hot chocolate.
It was hot chocolate, not...
eggnog.
Not alcoholic eggnog for the children.
What the fuck? Hot chocolate?
God, Bill. You know, like it's like you don't even know who that actor is if you've never watched anything he's been in. Tim Allen is an American icon.
And to your clue, what is the name of the angel who helps George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life?
All right, so
to be
completely fair, I've only seen this movie once. So I know the angel didn't have his wings. And this was going to help him earn his wings. And his name was Elton John.
Nice.
His name was not Elton John.
Damn it.
What?
I feel like I remember his first name.
Yeah.
Because it's a P, right?
I think it was Clarence.
Oh,
yeah. It was Clarence.
Remember we watched that? Did we watch that last year, hon?
Yes.
I thought
I'm feeling
Percival.
Really bad, Caitlin, because I reversed the order of these questions for you, and you've known the two hard ones.
Hot chocolate's not hard for the Santa
Claus. Hot chocolate! I've never seen the movie! Eggnog is better.
Yes.
If you don't have to get all four correct, but Elf, what are the four main food groups according to Buddy?
I believe it's... candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
All four. Fantastic job.
Thank you.
Represent.
Fucking diabetes waiting to happen.
Jared, what is the name of the Grinch's dog in How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
X.
Beautiful.
Right!
Caitlin, in Home Alone,
Where
is the McAllister family traveling when they leave Kevin behind?
Well, they're going to France.
They are.
I was going to say, hold on, which movie? Here. Are they going to France?
She said Home Alone, yeah. Home Alone. She didn't say Home Alone 2 or Home Alone 3. And
technically, Home Alone isn't Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
True.
It's Home Alone.
Yeah, which is in Home Alone 2.
Are they going to France in both, though?
No, New York.
No, they went to Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Okay.
Florida.
He went to New York.
Yeah, he went on the wrong plane. And he had the voice recorder.
All right, friends.
It's a good thing that series ended after those.
Get out of here, you filthy pervert. Wasn't that the line or something?
I don't know. I hear that a lot.
I'm Boy,
I
want to
slap you silly.
I'm going to move on to our religious trivia questions.
Oh,
not much better in here, kid.
Bill,
yo,
what gifts did the three wise men bring to Jesus?
Gold, myrrh. Oh,
merch.
Yeah,
you got one a friend.
Wonder there? Years merch. Wait, gold.
Frankincense.
Thank you.
If you whisper it, it still gets recorded. You know that, right?
Oh,
I appreciate you.
I clicked on Bill, though. You said frankincense. I clicked on his picture.
You can give him a half point for that. He got gold and
Frank, I almost docked somebody.
Actually, Bill. A small child gave a flower and it turned into something else. Remember my mom was telling us that today?
No, I told you this today about the poinsettia.
Pretty sure it was my mom.
No.
All right, Abby, go ahead. Get us back on the rails.
That's basically, we talked to Andy, opens his mouth, and then you tell me to put us back on the rails. That's the gist of the podcast tonight.
Yep.
Andy, how many days after birth was Jesus presented at the temple?
I mean, you don't present a brand new baby. And they did have to travel because she gave birth in a barn. So I'm going to say...
A barn?
Stable.
Table. Five.
Does anyone know the answer?
Clearly Andy doesn't.
Shit.
It's a Catholic number.
Yeah. 30.
It's more Catholic than both of those.
13.
666.
The answer is 40.
40. Oh, that's right.
I mean, they had to travel. Well,
what's the name of it? Because in Ireland, it's like a big fuck.
That's the next question, Bill.
The presentation day. I don't know. Eric, what does the name Emmanuel mean?
I believe that's a skateboarding trick named after the great Rodney Mullen, I believe.
That is not overflow.
The answer is God is with us.
Oh.
Epiphany.
Oh, the Epiphany Sunday.
Yeah. Fuck. Should have remembered that.
Thought the Epiphany happened quick. 40 days is a long time.
Jared, what city was Jesus born in?
Jerusalem.
Is it Nazareth?
Pulled in a Nazareth.
Was it Bethlehem?
Yeah,
it was.
Then why are they calling him Jesus of Nazareth?
Like it's
right after.
You don't call people by where they live after. You're not like Wick of East Hampton. You're Wick of Pittsfield.
Wait.
Jim Harbaugh of Toledo.
Jesus wasn't in Nazareth. It was the other guy.
Love hurts. Love scars.
I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
It's all coming true.
I think we need to have Jesus on. He needs to clear up a couple of things because I think there seems to be some discrepancies in his birth.
Caleb. In that book?
That's right.
Caleb, help me. What angel announced to Mary that she would give birth to Jesus?
I have no idea.
Was it a Victoria's Secret angel?
Bill.
Michael.
Phone a friend.
Michael?
Ooh, can I say Gabriel?
Yeah, I guess you should have phoned Andy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Gabriel. It's Gabriel.
Okay, never mind.
I question it too, Bill. We could Google it.
Yeah.
To make sure. I'm not doing so good on Jesus right now.
All right, Bill.
Yo.
Winter trivia. Which U.S. state holds the record for the most snowfall in a 24-hour period?
I'm going to go with New York, the Buffalo area.
Wrongo. Eric, do you know the answer?
I'm assuming it's like Lake Tahoe, so it's California.
Minnesota.
Both of you are wrong. Jared,
Minnesota?
Colorado.
Dakota?
Alaska.
Colorado is correct.
Oh, no. Whoa.
You're getting a point for that one.
Colorado in New York?
Yeah.
Also, Colorado, it is like pronounced Colorado, but okay.
Oh, damn. It's the red estate.
It is. When I went there, that's how everyone who lives there says it. My brother lived there for like 3 years.
Colorado.
And they all say Colorado.
I love it.
Bill, what is the name of the phenomenon where the northern lights are visible?
Aurora.
Wait, no. That's Andy's question.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on, was Bill right though? Before I
wasn't listening.
God damn it. I'm gonna say the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
The dude from Buffy, right? Yeah.
Eric, what animals are known to hibernate during the winter?
Motherfucker.
It's not wolves, I know that. That's when they get their most frisky.
Me too.
I believe it's bears.
It is bears, yeah. Jared.
Game is fucking rigged.
Jared. Wick, What is your favorite Christmas color?
Eric, what is Christmas all about?
I have thrown all of you an equal number of softballs here.
I don't think so. Bill's been getting a lot of hard ones. You're like,
yeah,
Bill,
what the fuck?
In 1600, what constellations on Christmas Day were in the night sky?
Bill was around for those. That's not that hard.
Yeah, but I can't remember like what happened. Wait, what's going on?
All right, we're moving on is what's happening. That's what's going on. Jared, what is the term for a winter storm with strong winds and heavy snowfall?
Blizzard.
Correct.
Blizzard.
Correct.
Also a good dessert.
Yep. Blizzard.
As they say in Massachusetts, a fuck ton of snow.
Mmm.
Concrete.
Or Colorado.
So, Caitlin, when record-setting snowfall is happening in Colorado in a blizzard, what is the most common snowflake shape? The bears don't know because they're all hibernating.
What?
I was taught they're all unique, so I take extreme offense to the idea that.
I don't even know what a snowflake shape.
Yeah, snowflake
a
shape?
A circle.
Think about like frozen water.
A crystal.
And what shape is a crystal?
A hexagon.
Correct.
Whoa.
We would have also accepted pointy.
No, we would not have.
That would have been my guess. Pointy.
Thank God there's no pointy snow. Could you imagine?
I'm doing an official calculation over here.
We got zero.
Hell no, you got Aurora Borealis. Just wasn't your turn.
We do have Bill in last place with 4 points.
No shit.
Jared, you're following up with 4.5 points. Andy and Caitlin in the same home, cheating, tied with 5 points each. And Eric is the winner with 5.5 points.
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought I was doing shitty.
Tough questions like bear.
Hold on. You didn't specify what type of bear. And does it count bear? Because polar bears don't hibernate.
Oh, shit.
Do they not?
No, they're active.
Dude, teddy bears, but.
Actually, are they active? I don't know.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a polar bear?
To be honest, I don't see him in the winter. So,
yeah,
I
mean, you're not going to see him much
that
longer.
That speaks more so. For what we've done to the planet than anything else.
I think that mama polar bears hibernate a little bit, but that's it.
Thank you, Caitlin.
You're welcome.
They're not true hibernators, but pregnant polar bears do den for months at a time.
There we go. Thank you.
I also did prepare a Mad Libs that Andy can sing.
We're going to skip
but
that.
But I think we've hit our limit for the night.
Well, I'm going to go over a couple quick gift.
Oh, I forgot.
Let's do it. What'd you forget?
All right. So in the true spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
We have to talk about some gift giving. Maybe you could even say gift receiving etiquette around this time. And I want to get a quick take from you all about these things. So the first one is re-gifting, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay if it's thoughtful.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if it's something you know really should have gone to somebody else, it's like, yeah.
Waste that, why not?
Find a home for it. Yeah, for real.
I agree. I also think it's okay to tell somebody it was a re-gift.
Oh, yeah. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Because then you tell that to your wife, and then the next thing you know.
I mean, it depends if it's not a thoughtful generic gift. Thing rather than some big custom thing. Like if you're trying to take credit for that, I wouldn't do that. But if it's just like a candle, then fucking whatever.
Yeah. What if you re-gift a gift to a person who gave it to you, what you forgot about?
Yeah, that's never happened.
They forget about
it.
One time Andy got all the Valentine's gifts his mom got from her students, and then he gave those to me for Valentine's Day.
To be fair, I picked out my own card.
Did you?
I did.
Wow, good for you, Andy. Do you want to hear another one about Andy and how I brought over some cider for a Christmas party and then he gave it to me for a housewarming gift the following year?
Waste that. Yeah. Listen, we just talked and said we all agree. Re-gifting
was okay. You can't re-gift to the same person.
Same person. Yeah, that's the etiquette right there.
You're like, no, this is a new cider. I'm like, Andy, it's expired last year when I gave it to you. Don't worry.
He was a good cider.
I gave it back to him, so it's fine. Okay. What about staying in the confines of like Secret Santa or White Elephant?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
So an example would be that some folks will take a limit. Let's say the limit for White Elephant is $20 and they'll far exceed it and buy something extravagant like a Michael Scott of the iPod. Or the opposite is somebody doesn't use the full amount and spends like $4 on something. So how are we feeling about the over under?
You got to hit the minimum. If you want to go above and beyond, that's on you. But you
is there a minimum? It's a maximum.
It's a maximum.
It doesn't freaking matter.
Oh, I always do a minimum. Like, hey, no less than 20.
Less than 20. Whoa.
Yeah, I think we always do like that. You have to spend like 25 or at least. And then you can.
But what if it's like a work thing? Or, you know.
I mean, for family, I guess for work would be different. But
so there's one at my kid's school right now. And they were like, it's $5. Do not spend more than $5. Do not spend less than $5. Spend $5. We don't want any kids crying because someone else got a $20 gift.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Keep it within the
what are you getting for $5 though?
Five below.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh yeah. It's true.
Got a monster truck and some chocolate.
Yo, perfect. What up?
Nice. Love that. Okay, what about overly either practical or like suggestive gifts? So like
suggestive
lingerie.
That could be one, but I would say more like if I bought Andy like Rogaine or something, right?
A pair of jeans.
I mean, I'd clearly be offended, but I'd try it. So if that's a gift you want to get, I'm okay.
No, I would never. I would never do that to you, Andy.
I think you try and, you know, keep it cash.
I kind of had this conversation with Caitlin, and I've been told not to give people suggestive gifts. Like, hey, here's like, a book on how to manage your money.
Oh,
and Caitlin's like, no.
Right. Or now, like deodorant.
Yep. There you go.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I was thinking a different direction, like sort of like if my husband buys me a vacuum as a suggestive, like you should vacuum more. I'm probably not going to vacuum more, but I probably will appreciate the vacuum.
But again, that I would say that falls into like overly practical, right? Like we need a vacuum for the house. I'm buying you a gift. That's a vacuum for the
house.
Depends
how much money you have. Like if you only have cash to buy that stuff, then that it's a gift. Being able to do that is nice. Like,
yeah.
Well, and I think the way I sort of think about it too is like if I was going to buy a gift for my husband of something that like we would use around the house, I would buy, if I was going to get it as a gift, I would buy like the nicer version than I would have bought if I was going to Target on a Tuesday to buy it. Like if I'm going to Target on Tuesday to buy a vacuum, I'm buying a vacuum. If I buy him a vacuum for Christmas, I'm going to buy a Dyson or something.
Yeah. All the bells and whistles.
Right.
Okay. What about gifts without expectations? So this is like, do you ever have the situation where you're thinking, oh, that person's probably going to get me a gift, so I should get them a gift? Or do you just get gifts for people that you're like, oh, I know they're not going to get me a gift, or I don't expect them to get me a gift, but I want to get somebody a gift because I found the perfect gift for them.
Exactly. Be like, okay, oh, this makes me think of so-and-so. I'm just going to get it. And, you know, it doesn't matter.
And so when I say this, I don't think of it as being like, I'm not thoughtful, so I wouldn't do that. But is there a weird stigma of like, would you feel weird getting a gift from somebody?
Oh, 100%.
Did not get them a gift.
Oh, that's one of my biggest fears. Yeah, I know. No.
Hun, do you want to take this for us? Because I know you have very strong feelings about people telling you who you can and cannot buy for. By the way, disclaimer, it's not me.
And I want to believe that people aren't giving stuff to get something, so.
Yeah. Mm. I always buy, like at work, I always buy like a few extra gifts just in case I get a gift from somebody who I didn't know was going to give me a gift, because I feel bad if I don't return the gift. But I also, like Andy was just saying, his mom likes to tell me who I shouldn't buy for if they're not getting me a gift. For instance, like his brother is not getting our kids gifts this year, but I still want to get them gifts. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to do it anyway. I don't care.
I think that's totally reasonable.
I had someone this week on Friday put a gift in my office when I wasn't in my office. Oh. And I know that they're working all next week. And I don't know. And they're like such a kind human. And I don't know if they put it in my office early so that I wouldn't feel this way. Like, I think that they thought about it and put this gift in. And it was just like a very simple, thoughtful gift. And it's not something that I would feel like I had to. I was going to get this person something anyway. But I think that they did it early to like give me time so that I wouldn't feel this way.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And I have done. It's more like, I don't want anyone to feel awkward about not getting me a gift, but like I would always get my coworker something at the end of the day. Like, I don't expect anything from them. And I would even like not even put my name on it. I would just put it on their desk. It's like, I want you to have something that I saw that I think you would like. And if you know that I gave it to you, cool. Like, that's fine. But I'm also not going to go out of my way to tell you. If you ask me, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to like go out of my way.
Yeah. See, I agree with Caitlin. Mama is always like, this person's not getting your kids a gift. And I'm like, okay, I got them a gift already. And she's like, we'll take it back. I'm like, I'm not taking it back. Like, it's fucking niece and nephew. I don't give a shit.
That the holidays are all about doxing.
How you holiday dox your mom? not only did you dox your mom, we also know that Nick is not buying you any presents this year.
Yeah, he never gets us anything. He just told my mom, I'm not getting Andy's kids anything. Or Carol's kids.
You should have gotten him a ticket to XWA for.
Oh, I should. He's gonna be there in January.
Oh yeah, he is. It's gonna be rocking.
It's gonna be awkward when his kids get a gift.
An XWA shirt.
All right, I got one here. What about wrapping and wrapping paper?
Oh, here we go.
So I'll give you my quick take. Like, I like to package things as minimally as possible. If I can put it in a gift bag that you can re-gift next year, I would much rather do that than wrap something up.
Yep.
It depends who it's for, too, because if it's going to one of us, fuck you, here it is, we're adults, you can enjoy it. If it's going to a little kid or something, then yeah, kind of make it a little magical, because that's more for them than it is for us.
True.
Sure. Good point. Save the trees. Just give them the stuff.
Yeah. I can't wrap, so like I waste so much paper just because I'm folding things and taping stuff, and I kill rainforests, and I'm so sorry.
I do too little because I'm like all right, I think I got this. And then Caitlin will be like, do it again. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to put a piece on the back.
Yes, yes.
I love that corner missing. Let me just stick a corner piece from a different piece of wrapping paper.
Yes.
I'm a really big fan of going 3 days after Christmas to Target and buying all the 90% off bags. They're like real weird that don't even really look that Christmassy. And I just buy them all and put them in a box for the next year.
Yes.
That's my favorite thing, is also seeing the next year, like what the fuck I have, because I put no effort into picking it or choosing it.
I just like going to my mom's and grabbing wrapping paper from her because she just buys all the wrapping paper for $1 the next day after Christmas at Target. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that like it comes up and I'm like, ooh, what do you got here? Oh, this is beautiful. I'll take this.
All the stuff they used to have us peddle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember at the mall they would have gift wrapping stations?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
still do at Holyoke.
Awesome. All right, I gotta get to Holyoke then.
I'm a terrible wrapper, and maybe that's why I don't necessarily love it. But my wife's
rapist.
Oh,
I will say, if rhymes were a drug, I'd sell them by the gram.
Oh Lord.
Oh God damn it.
Word to your mother.
But my wife just loves to open things. Like, I feel like if I could put my like laundry in wrapping paper, she'd be happy about it. She just loves opening things. So
right on.
I, I like do it bad every year. And she kind of gives me the thing of like, I have no expectations. I know you're a bad rapper, but then every year she like looks at it and she's like, whoa, like, I tried.
Yeah.
You just put things in a stocking and you can open it and you can pull it out from there. But
A for effort.
Exactly. I'm bad at it though. So
anyway. Does it take you a long time to unwrap, especially well wrapped presents? Like, I'm like, oh, they definitely took, I know how bad I am at rapping.
Okay. Are you asking, are you peeling off the tape or are you tearing?
Yes. Are you looking for a seam to kind of get that
Oh, tape? I always seam first, then I'll rip from the seam. I don't like take it apart like by origamiing it, but I'll find a part where I can pop my finger under and then I'll rip it from there.
Right on. Yeah. I try minimal rippage.
Yeah, I try to pop it and then pull it out so I can flatten it out and fold it over.
Yeah.
So I can reuse it in that box.
Boom. Yes.
For next year.
Do you guys remember the first time of like opening a present as maybe as an adult or I guess maybe as an older kid, but like opening a present in front of somebody, like someone else's house? Mm-hmm. Think of it like a girlfriend or something, and you have to like pretend you like don't know how to open a present. You like want to go really slow, even though you probably rip it really fast. You
ever, bro, that's how I.
Yeah, oh, and then like no one's looking at you, so you have to pretend you didn't see it yet, and you're like, oh, look what I got.
Yeah.
Oh,
Chris. I will say this: I always, as a kid, hated opening gifts I knew I wasn't gonna want. Like. If you ask for two things and there's 10 things under the tree, you know 8 of those things are things you want nothing to do with. And you have to try to act excited to open clothes. And it's like, can't you just give me the clothes separately?
Yeah. Can this be a different day? Can this be Boxing Day?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. More things than you had before.
So I guess this is a kind of a good point to mention this real quick, but it's like, respect the wish list if you can, right? Like if somebody gives you, if you ask for a wish list and someone gives it to you, buy them something on their wish list, because otherwise you're just wasting time.
Or don't expect them to use it. That's it. You can get them the stuff. Just don't anticipate it being.
This is something I feel very strongly about. I feel that every individual should have a running wish list at all times with items between $1 and $200 on them. So anytime you need to buy anyone a gift, you can reference it either for actually buying them a gift or figuring out what they would like.
Wonder Years merch.
I mean, that's more of a hot take, but I do.
Yeah, that's a good.
I bet you Amazon's looking hard into that.
Because sometimes your wife says there's a wish list, but then when you look, you're looking at the wrong list because there's a bunch of lists on Amazon. And you're like, all right, I guess I'll get you a waffle maker. But
it says Caitlin's Christmas list.
And I'm expected to read all the list names now? What is that shit?
Caitlin's other wish list was a lot of cardboard cutouts of Tim the Toolman Taylor.
I know, right? I'm like, you want this? All right. I mean, I'll get something on the wish list, but fucking markers for your classroom seems weird, but I'll take it.
All right. So this is one for, I guess it's more for a few folks on here, but I heard this recently and I thought that this made a lot of sense to me. And I guess you can all have a take on this, but is getting gifts for kids that the parents will also like. So I guess it's like not going over the top of some. Well, don't get them like some large gaudy gift that the parents are going to hate having around their house. Like it's sort of, I don't know. There's the middle ground here.
So it was my nephew's birthday today. So I went to his birthday party like 2 hours ago and I got him a stuffed animal and a stuffed puppet. My mother and father, who were also there, bought him a 75-piece farm set and like 120-piece veterinarian set.
Oh, no.
And I did look at my sister-in-law and say, I did buy you the two pieces, not the 200 that just came into your house.
A lot of those are going in the toter. Classic.
If you can fit them.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta get a second toter.
Also, very hot take, unrelated but related. I'm gonna Andy for a second here. My mom, I asked her what her feelings were on the toters the other day, and she told me that they're too big.
Wow. Too big.
It takes up too much room in her garage, and she's annoyed by it.
Wow.
hot take.
Very hot.
And you should go to her and say, all right, the toter size. Tell me when it's too big.
Tell me when it's too big. What? What? Oh my God. All right, we gotta start again.
Redo. Caitlin, Andy, like, what is there a gift that you do not want your kids to get from somebody? Like, that you would just be like, oh my God, like, way off limits.
Other than you want to take this before I go and attack your parents?
You better not. They might be listening.
Brooms.
I am fine with whatever. Andy's more picky than anything, but my brother-in-law did get Vinny a fart button for his birthday. And so then that fart button just kept farting and farting and farting. It ended up in the car and I was farting. And I was like, what the fuck about this fart button?
I try to clean the car and it keeps going off. And I'm looking around. I'm like, someone pressing a fucking fart button behind me. I will say I agree with Abby. I don't like Caitlin's parents always buy like this complicated Hot Wheels set. And the kids, they're just not into Hot Wheels. But when it comes, I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Thanks, guys. And then Caitlin's mom just rips it open because my thought process is, great.
Re-gift.
Re-gift or we'll take it back and they'll buy something they want. She just starts ripping it open, so I can't do that. Mm. And then the next thing I know, an hour later, I'm still building a Hot Wheels set and the boys are never going to use it. But shit, it's got to be built right then. And I'm like, Merry fucking Christmas.
Andy, you can re-gift that to a certain brother that you have.
There you go.
It's like, it's just ripping the box open. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop.
I have a Hot Wheels track that takes up the entirety of my living room when it's put together. No. And my kids will insist that it's put together for like 2 months.
I'd be fine if the kids would use them, but they just don't. They end up whipping each other with the track because they think we need a sword. And I'm like, great.
I mean, you've got two boys. I don't think it matters what you put in there. They're going to find some way to hit each other with it.
Yes, they end up in the toter after a year. Come Christmas, I'm like, all right, well, let's time to recycle this one.
It's pretty durable.
A whole year.
Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway is try to be respectful if you're buying things for a child and think about like space constraints and things like that when you're getting a gift so that you're not buying a 500-piece
puzzle. For the stars, get them that drum kit. That's how we got here.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to have it.
Yeah, noisemakers, those are always good. All right. We appreciate you for joining us tonight on our Christmas special. This was our third installment of the Christmas special. Last year was the Christmas Craptacular featuring Home Alone 3, 4, Home Alone 4.
Yeah.
That was a big mess.
This was so much better.
I just say I don't think Home Alone 4 was as bad as the 45 minutes of I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jonathan Taylor Thomas I started watching earlier today.
Don't say that around Caitlin, man. She loves that movie.
That movie.
No, I do not love that movie, but it's very nostalgic for me to watch JTT. It's a terrible movie, but I still watch it.
He is so unlikable in it.
He is. He's such a little brat.
There's nothing to like about him. You don't root for him at all. He's like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, but way older and never gets better.
Really.
So anyway, don't watch that.
To be in his defense, his mom dies and his dad up and marries someone else years later. Ugh.
I know. And offers to give him a car. All you have to do is come home for Christmas. It's crazy.
Just come home for Christmas and appreciate his dad being happy. What the fuck?
No.
Crock of shit, that is.
But a young Jessica Biel in the film, learning her acting stripes in that one. She's really... Snack.
I do have a question about that movie, though, that I always wonder. Is he in college? Is he in boarding school? I don't understand where he is. Because
the lockers?
Yeah, they're in the... Yeah, the lockers confuses me. People are still shoving kids in lockers. I'm like, what is happening?
He looks 14, so probably a boarding school.
Boarding school, yeah.
But then he books a flight to go to like Cancun by himself. It all doesn't make sense.
Nothing in that film makes any sense.
Pre-9/11, you could do a bunch of other things. It's fine.
Rich white people problems.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Drop your kid off. Hey, could you take my kid to the other side of the world? Thanks.
All right. Well, we digress, and we are going to join you back in a few weeks with a new Tales from the Pits episode. But until then, hope you all have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you soon. Good night.
Bye.
Ho, ho, ho.
Bye. Happy Hanukkah.